Thanks for coming out. Welcome to what will be episode number 21 of Girl Fight.
The best age
ever.
Yeah. I was like,
huh? If you don't know what Girl Fight is, it is a weekly podcast put together by the lovely ladies that you see in front of you who make up the female contingent of the editorial staff at IGN. And we started a podcast.
All four of us.
Just counts.
I'm hardly ever there anymore, so.
Yeah. So we started the podcast because none of the other podcasts at IGN were talking about anything that we cared about very much, and we figured.
No offense, Greg Miller.
Yeah. It might be nice to have a female voice pop in here and there. So that was the idea behind it. So we're going to start off just by introducing ourselves briefly, for those of you who aren't familiar with us, and then we'll pop into a topic. So my name is Nicole Tanner. I am an associate editor at IGN. I have been in the game industry more than 8 years in various roles from editorial back at Game Now magazine, and then I also did some PR and marketing for Foundation 9 Entertainment, and freelance for our dearly departed Green Pixels before coming to IGN. So that's me. Dana?
Hi, I'm Dana Jungle Ward. I have been writing about games for about 9 years now, and the guy who actually hired me into the industry is sitting halfway back over there. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
I've worked at Computer Gaming World and Official PlayStation Magazine and the dearly departed GameTap editorial division before coming on to IGN to start Green Pixels, and now working on a bunch of other things at IGN as well.
I'm Megan Sullivan. I'm the games database editor at IGN. So all the information, when you go on IGN, you look up, like, when is the game coming out and how much is it and the game description, what awesome features. That is what my boss, Mark Nix, and I do. We put that in for you. That's it.
How long you been playing games?
Since I was 4, so for 20 years? Sure. That sounds good. Yeah.
Liar.
So, you're right. I'm sorry. I'm younger than
we
that.
We all know I'm the baby.
Yes.
Christine's not going to let go of that title anytime soon.
Nope, which is a good segue to Christine.
Hi, I'm Christine Steimer.
I should get a cheerleading section.
Because Greg Miller was at the head of it.
That was cute.
All right. Thanks for getting that on camera, Scott. I'm not the games content planner anymore. I am now an associate editor at IGN.com. Before this, I started at Edelman, doing public relations for Microsoft Game Studios. So I'm a little bit of an expat, but not really. I'm starting to love my PS3 because of that guy. But yeah, that's my favorite game ever is Mass Effect, so the N7 shirts, love it. Jess?
So I'm Jessica Chobot, and I host pretty much all of our on-camera stuff, and when I'm not busy sticking my fingers in Christine's mouth, apparently. I also actually started, I'm about 5 years into the business right now. I actually was a freelance writer for a long time for Brian Crescente's private site, and then eventually moved my way over to IGN Insider, and then from IGN Insider into video.
Cool.
Cool. Awesome. So the topic that we're going to touch on just briefly, very briefly, believe me, because we were kind of like, I don't know if we want to talk about this. Because we want to hear all the questions from
kind
you
of
guys.
Lame.
So, well, yeah, what did you call it? The most vagina-y topic?
It's very vagina-whiny topic.
Yeah.
It is. It's vagina-whiny.
But it also happens to be the question that we get asked the most of anything, and that is, how do I get my girlfriend, wife, fiance, sister, mother,
female,
prostitute, name the female, into gaming? Exactly. I think you can pay those ones, but but everybody seems to want to know that. So that's what we're going to talk about a little bit briefly. So does anybody want to start, or shall I start?
Go for it.
I think you should start.
Okay. So I have kind of a weird gaming history. I gamed a lot when I was a little itty-bitty kid on the Vectrex and Atari 2600. But as I grew up into my teen years, I kind of had a drought you know, playing games wasn't the cool thing to do if you were a teenage girl back then, without giving you my age.
Oh, sorry.
Yay!
Yeah, I know, sorry.
Belch number one from Dana. Yeah. But my husband is actually the one who got me back into games, and there's a lot of advice that could be learned from him. And he was very careful in picking out games that he thought I would like and that were not too complicated, one of which being The Sims, which he got me for a PC, and I played and played and played and played and played. And then, you know, eventually we'd move to other things like maybe a Mario Party or Zelda on the N64. But the point is like, I was never just tossed a controller and asked to play a deathmatch in Halo, which is the worst way to get your girlfriend into gaming. So my advice on this topic is you have to find out what she likes, coax her along gently, to maybe where you would want to be, but also be willing to compromise.
I really think about the controls. Yeah. Controllers, as another one who didn't play games growing up, and controllers are scary as hell. And about a year before I started working, actually no, it was like 6 months, like I held a PS2 controller for the first time and I had no idea what the hell any of those buttons did. And I actually died on my way to the training area in a Star Wars fight game. I didn't even make it to the training area. So if you don't know what you're doing with a controller, they're terrifying. And so, I mean, just keep that in mind.
Well,
so
I think that's a really good point because, you know, back when I was playing with Atari 2600, I mean, although now when you think back to when you were starting to play as a kid, the games, I wouldn't really call them easy. I mean, and anytime you sit there and pick up like an old Zelda, you know it's not easy. But as a child, you had all this time to just invest in it. And you know, you really had some basic controls there. So just kind of keep in mind that you can't just toss somebody into the deep end of the pool. I mean, if you can, great, fantastic. And if they're willing to learn that way, you know, and tread water for a while, good for them. But I think, you know, just remember what you were like as a kid and just kind of respect that sense. Oddly enough, I actually went through a drought period too. So I played a lot when I was a kid. Then I hit college and I didn't play at all. And then my husband got me involved in gaming at the time because I hated him and I wanted to get away from him. So I went ahead and played as much World of Warcraft as possible.
So maybe that's another way you could get your significant other to hate you.
So also get married. Marry someone you don't like. And then you'll really love gaming. Awkward.
You know what's a really good thing also is like, I went to a party and they were playing Guitar Hero or something like that. And that's a game that everyone can play. And as long as you're patient, you don't insist that someone try like the hardest mode possible. If you let them sort of start easy and stuff, that's actually a lot of fun. And that's a great way to get someone into gaming. Because that worked with me where I went to a Halloween party at someone's house and I was really intimidated, you know, by all the games. And I started playing Guitar Hero and I was like, okay, I'll try it. It was actually really, really fun and sort of like was one of the things that got me back into gaming. So things like Guitar Hero and stuff like that's a really good thing too because it's sort of a party game.
I was scared.
Were you?
Yeah, I don't want to look stupid in front of everybody.
Yeah, but as a party game, everybody's looking stupid.
That's
yeah.
true, if I was drunk. Playing.
Yeah.
I should mention that.
Alcohol helps. You go to where they don't drink.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't
invite me to those parties. I was a very good girl for a while, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I just have a similar story to you, Nicola. Yeah. You know, I played a lot as a kid, then went through the drought mostly through high school because I was a theater kid, and then college because I, you know, had to study and stuff. But then when I got
Wait,
my
you
job,
studied in college?
No. But then I got back into it when I got my job at Edelman working for a game company. Obviously, you sort of need to try the product out. So I actually learned on Viva Pinata, and it was great for me because it's such a slow-paced game that the controller, which is a scary thing, you can sort of learn it at your own pace, whereas like a shooter or something that's more fast-paced, you're
where,
like,
where
oh,
time
crap.
Actually matters and reflexes matter, yeah.
Yeah, so that was something that sort of helped me out.
Right.
And then I was able, I think from then I jumped right into Mass Effect, actually.
Yeah.
And the thing that got me into that was just, I was a big reader, so the story there is really good, and that's what kept me interested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other flip side, you know, basically what we've been saying is if you're in a relationship where the person is open to trying video games, then all of this advice should work very well. However, if you're in a relationship where the person thinks video games are the scourge of the earth, you still might be able to convince them. There are a few things that you can do in order to make that happen. One of which is be extremely cognizant of how you behave when you are playing.
Yes, don't go to a Halo Deathmatch and try to kill your girlfriend over and over and over again. She'll hate you.
Or even when you're playing by yourself, if you are getting frustrated, if you're throwing your controller, if you're screaming at the screen.
Don't punch a monitor.
I do this so much. Yeah. I mean, really,
it's totally fine in a household where you all do that. But for someone who doesn't game, walks in and sees you throwing a fit and... That doesn't look fun to them. Like, why would they want to try that? So be cognizant of that as well. And then also, you know, sometimes you got to compromise, you know?
Not only that, I would say go for something, this is going to sound really stereotypical and I'm sorry, something with a cute art style. Totally Pullman.
Yep.
Anything by the Behemoth?
Yeah. iPet, the forthcoming iPet.
Something cute.
iPet creeps me out. I can't.
Monchichi!
Looks like Ryan Clements.
It does. No, but it's cute. That's a compliment.
Yeah, it's a total compliment.
If Ryan Clements had a tail.
Exactly. But going back to my point about party games, so if you have a console, it probably came with something like, when I got a Wii console, it came with like Wii Sports and stuff like that. And some of those games are actually pretty fun. So you can easily get anyone into that because basically you're just sitting there like tossing your controller around and like bowling and tennis and stuff like
that.
Don't
hit the other player. I've had that happen.
Yeah. And make sure the wrist strap is on tight because I watched this guy and see that show that sells things like...
Well,
on TV.
Narrows it down.
Could I be more vague, please?
The Home Shopping Network.
They actually had a guy trying to demonstrate the Wii.
And he broke the TV because his Wii remote flew
into the TV during a live demonstration, and the woman next to him started laughing hysterically hard and basically was like, well, I'm not getting that.
It's not as funny when you get hit in the arm and then you're bruised.
Oh, I'm sorry about that, but...
Who hit you, Christine?
Oh, that was a drunk game of Wii in college.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure
you had a Wii in college.
Someone in the audience.
I was going to say, wait, what?
Thanks.
Okay.
No, I feel really old.
Well, that's the extent, I think, pretty much the extent of our advice on that topic. Any of you guys have anything else to add?
Nope.
Only that I really hate sitting in a straight line like this.
Typically, when we do our podcast, it is at a round table, which makes it a lot easier for us to interact with each other. So,
questions.
So, let's start with questions. Who's got a question? He's got
what
a question. I don't even know quite how to answer that.
We mean make out slowly with each other for an hour every Thursday.
Schedule a time. It helps.
That's what we mean.
Oh, come on, people.
There we go.
Favorite games.
Ooh, good question.
My favorite game of all time would be a tie between Animal Crossing and the first BioShock.
I can't ever pick just, I don't know. This is like any, I don't have a favorite movie or book or anything, but games that I have loved have been God of War, Okami, Professor Layton, World of Warcraft. I'll stop there for now.
I would say Final Fantasy IV overall, because that's the game that got me into gaming. It's all about Final Fantasy and Final Fantasy IV. And lately, Dragon Age has been creeping up the top 10 list of RPGs for me, and I'm usually a JRPG person, but this has changed everything. So good job, BioWare. By the way, BioWare, you owe me more money. I have another convert to Dragon Age. I got my chiropractor into it.
Your chiropractor?
I'm not kidding. True story. Like,
okay,
she's
I need to know how this conversation went. Yeah.
So basically, she was like, so are you doing anything for Labor Day weekend? I was like, oh, I'm going up to PAX Seattle. I'm going to a panel. And she's like, what is that? It's like a big gaming expo. She's like, oh, I like games. I was like, well, I work at IGN. She's like, really? What games do you recommend? And it was like, do you like dragons? Yes. Do you like fantasy games? Yes. Go get Dragon Age. Okay. And so she wrote it down and everything. So BioWare owes me money.
BioWare owes us all money.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a letter about once a week that says, I went out and picked up Dragon Age thanks to you ladies, and I loved it.
Yeah, or Mass Effect.
Yeah. That's, you know, I already said it at the beginning of this panel. Mass Effect, 2N7 shirts over there. Yeah, that's my fave. I'm just going to include the trilogy, even though the third's not out yet.
I've got a list. I like Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. That's probably my number one choice across the board. I'm a big fan of, even though everybody liked 7, I enjoyed Final Fantasy 8 because I... Thank you! Thank you!
Boo! Yeah.
Shut up! Final Fantasy 8 is awesome. I also am a huge, huge fan of Silent Hill 2. In fact, I would argue that that's possibly the best horror genre game of all time up to this point. Maybe Condemned, first one, when the mannequins attack you. That freaked me out quite a bit, but, you know, whatever. Obviously, Dragon Age. You've heard us talk about it constantly. Pretty much, I'd have to agree with the girls, any BioWare game at this point I really enjoy. Shadow of the Colossus. Easily was the only game I've ever played where it actually made me cry. Like, I legitimately cried at the end. I felt so bad. And if you can check IGN, somewhere buried in our archives is essentially a thesis paper that I wrote connecting Ico and Shadow of the Colossus back before Team Ico admitted that all three were connected. They were still trying to say, like, no, they're not a trilogy, even though they finally admitted that it was, because we all knew it already. But those are my choices.
Cool.
Questions?
Hell yeah!
Christine was able to play, of which I am incredibly jealous, but I'm going to try and go and get some hands-on tomorrow.
No.
Yeah, I got to go to EA and play it for a while, so it's good.
And you previewed the new DLC with Morrigan.
Yes, that was for Origins, though. That's not...
Yeah, that is true.
Too. But I've not played any of the expansions or anything DLC up until this point for Dragon Age Origins, because I had a very love-hate relationship with that game, but I love Morgan. I know you hate her, but I love her. So I will definitely be playing this one.
Go for it.
As a big fan of the Dark Tower series, Jessica, I read your post about the MMO. It's quite interesting about it.
Thanks.
Have you gotten any further in the books?
I have. I'm more than halfway through with Wizard and Glass right now. I'm actually scared to complete. So this is what I did. I really screwed up.
Nice catch.
So close. I really screwed up because I couldn't wait, and I was asking all my friends who have read it, what happens, and they wouldn't tell me, so I was like, fine, screw you.
Because they're good friends.
I'm gonna go on Wikipedia, because I don't listen to know, and read ahead. So, the thing with that is I can still enjoy a book or still enjoy a game knowing roughly what the outcome is, so I know, I'm just gonna, you know, we're all adults here, I know that shit's gonna hit the fan big time in the next two chapters. And I'm scared to read it because I know that it's going to break my heart. Mm-hmm. So that being said, however, I haven't really given the MMO idea much thought outside of what I'd already posted on the blog. I do think that some of the comments I read make some good points as far as, you know, who would be a boss and like a boss battle and who would, you know, like... There's some legitimate arguments between making it an MMO and a standard RPG. I still think that somebody made a great point, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody made a great point as far as BioWare coming out with Star Wars MMO, that if everybody's running around as a Jedi, that would be a good test to see if that's the case for everybody running around as a gunslinger. And I think that that's a legitimate argument. I'd be interested in it. I still kind of lean towards more of the MMO kind of mentality. But this is all in my head anyway, and it will never see the light of day, so I guess it really doesn't matter. Unless BioWare wants to hire me, in which case, jessicachobet@ign.com.
More questions. So we have somebody with a microphone, so just hold your hand up really,
well,
really high.
Go for it.
So what's your take on the discussion that was spawned by Bayonetta when it was first released? Do you feel it was exploitative or empowering?
I loved Bayonetta. Loved it. And the more she rode that pole, the more I enjoyed that game.
There are some pictures of Jessica wearing a Bayonetta outfit.
No, there's not.
Aren't there?
No. Oh, Dana. Those were between us. It was.
She said it.
You promised. No, there's really not.
You're thinking the S&M outfit.
Right.
Yeah, no, seriously, I approach these games with the mentality that this is a fantasy. I also approach it with the, you know, like I know that there's a lot of women out there that are offended by it. I personally am not, because I've played plenty of games where the main characters that are men look nothing like men in real life, no matter how much I pray to God for them to do so. So, you know, I figure what's good, you know, what's good for one's good for the other. That's just the way it goes. These are fantasy. These are an escapism mentality. And as long as you're a functioning adult and know that that's as far as it goes, what's the harm in it?
I don't find her empowering, but I'm not offended by her.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. I mean, that kind of happens everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's like at the end of the day, I'm like, I played like 45 minutes of that game, watched her walk around with her hand on her hip, and I was like, this is not for me. It's just not for me. So, you know, I mean,
when I saw Nicole playing it, I kind of rolled my eyes and I was like, whatever. But then I actually sat down and started playing it and I had a really good time. And I wasn't, the more she got into it, the more I sort of got into it. I don't know, it was weird.
Yeah. So I never finished it. I watched my husband finish, though, and it still doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand it. But,
the ending sequence is fantastic.
But for me, the issue wasn't so much about how she looked as how she acted made me a little uncomfortable, and then just the blatant use of sexuality to overpower people. Not really my thing.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Given that the first-person shooter is generally, you know, received as a masculine genre, what is all of your relationship with the first-person shooter?
Meh.
I have horrible reflexes, so it's not a good one.
I just get bored. I don't know what it is. Like, first person, I guess not necessarily, like Fallout 3, I played in first person. It was fine, it's an RPG, but sort of a shooter. But still, like, games like Halo and everything like that, I just can't get into them for whatever reason. I'm not entirely sure what that is yet. I have yet to pinpoint it.
I think it's the military theme of a lot of them.
Well, I kind of don't care about that. I was a military brat, so it's not really that.
For me, that's what it is.
And I like shooting things.
Yes, like horses.
Yeah, I have found later and later that I'm getting more and more into FPSs, but it's none of the generic Halo-ish FPSs. Like I said, BioShock. It's one of my favorite games, and I just played a game called Singularity recently that I thought was really, really well done. I mean, for me, it's not so much about the genre. It's just about what the game has to offer itself. And if it just looks like a bunch of big, bulky dudes shooting aliens, I'm not going to be that interested into it. But if it's got like a neat story and another hook that'll get me in there, then I'll play it.
My biggest issue with first-person shooters is that when I was playing back on the PC for things like Doom and whatnot, I was so used to having a mouse there that I have a hard time wrapping myself around three-dimensional concepts without actually having something to like run off of. So when I was playing with a mouse, you know, the tabletop was always the floor. And so when I was sitting there maneuvering and things, I always had a concept of this is where essentially I need to land. And then when everything started switching over to console and I was sitting there just holding a controller and it was just kind of in the air, I had a really tough time. And I'm not saying that's the game's fault, it's just whatever the case is with me, kind of like making that adjustment. I do find, however, that if a game has more of a story mode, and that's kind of more what I'm involved in, and like a high-end art style, I find myself, even though I'm still not very good at them, I find myself giving them more of a chance than I would if it was a standard, just straight-up army-esque shooter. Mainly because I've always had a love for a choose-your-own-adventure kind of novel situation, storytelling. And I went to school for fine arts, and so if something has those two things in it, like a BioShock of that nature or whatnot, I have a tendency to give it a little bit more time and patience.
See, I'm like Jessica. Like, what my thing is that with first person anything, like I had this problem with Mirror's Edge 2, which is a game I really wanted to like. I can't, there's no peripheral vision, so I get disorientated. I can't see who's hitting me. I can't see, you know, what's to the side. So if I run into a guard, he's right in front of my face all of a sudden. Because I like shooters. I don't know if anyone remembers the original Contra, but I loved that game. Like, it was awesome. So I like shooters, but I can't do the first person thing just because I lose peripheral vision and I can't see where I'm going or what's off to the side. So I'm constantly walking along, and all of a sudden someone shoots me dead, and I'm like, what happened? Well, it turns out there's a guard, but I can't see them. And if, you know, if there's clunky controls, like a clunky camera, that just makes it worse because I'm like, oh, there's a guard there. So yeah, exactly. There's a guard. Yeah, so yeah, that's my only thing. It's my only problem with first person anything. I can't see. You can't. Well, I can't see. What is it? Yeah, exactly. I'm blind.
This guy. Yes, you.
Yes.
Okay, he's coming with the microphone so everyone can hear you.
Front row.
I was just like wondering what you guys thought, how, you know, how the female gamers' presence is expanding in the market like every year, and how like with help with like Move and Kinect, like would maybe get more people into like how the DS and the Wii helped get more non-gamers into playing games. Do you think that in a few years maybe we would see, maybe out of PAX, we would see like a 50-50 ratio of men and women? Do you think that maybe we would see that?
I hope not, because then that would mean the bathrooms would be really full.
I know, yeah, that's the best thing about it.
No, actually, I was just commenting to my husband walking around today that there's vastly larger amounts of women here at this PAX than at any PAX that I have been to before. So it definitely is growing.
Yay!
So, you know, I mean, it's and Nintendo has, you know, a lot to be thanked for that. They are taking the, you know, kind of non-aggressive approach of just letting people in to play what they want to play instead of being like, you're not hardcore because you don't play Halo. That turns a lot of people off. You know, you have to let people come into gaming at their own pace so that they have a good experience with it. It's like a big thing right now is lots of people are like, oh my God, my mom, my sister, whomever is playing Farmville, and all she does is play Farmville and blah, 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 and everybody who's a gamer hates Farmville. But you know what? You know, she'll play Farmville for a couple years, but then, you know, she might see you play Harvest Moon, and there you go. You've got a console player. I mean, you know, don't knock off.
I think the only reason people hate Farmville is because all those friggin' status updates.
Yeah.
Well, those have been worked down quite a bit.
Not in my family. They
Nicole
keep going.
Nicole planted corn.
You could just block your family.
So yeah, I mean, my point is that this is another point is to be patient. Like, this type of transformation does not happen overnight. My gaming transformation from The Sims till now, obviously, with The Sims coming out in 2000 and this be 2010, has taken 10 years for me to go from playing little puzzle games and simple games to playing FPSs like BioShock and God of War and beating them both on hard. So it just takes time. You got to be patient.
And obviously those casual games are picking up. I saw a lot of you walking around with cones on your head today.
Yes.
A lot of Plants vs. Zombie fans. And so that was encouraging to see. There's more people realizing that you don't have to play Halo to be a gamer. You can wander around with a cone on your head and say, I proudly play Plants vs. Zombies.
As I think all of us do up here on this panel.
For the fourth time.
Yes, and they're going to make us buy it again.
I know.
It's kind of related. It's interesting that you say that, you know, the kind of the female fan base has expanded, and I want to get your thoughts on what is the female gamer stereotype that upsets each one of you the most?
I think it's
that I'm a slut.
Is that a stereotype?
Okay.
Watch your mouth there.
So now you've all been introduced to the true Jessica Chobot.
No, but I'm serious. Like, we were actually talking about this earlier today, and I don't know how many, it's upsetting to me when I do a good job on a video or I'm proud of a particular thing of work that I've done and it's on YouTube or whatever. I can't send that to my mother or my father because all they're going to see is comments that say, I want to stick it in her ass. And that is a big problem. And that is that runs the gamut for any female in this industry. And I think that although a person that puts themselves in the public eye certainly should expect a certain amount of backlash just because that's the way that that goes, some of it's just going way too far. And it's just really kind of ridiculous. And I consider myself to have a very thick skin and a pretty decent sense of humor, as I think you all can tell. I'm not too picky about those things. So to piss me off like that and to not allow me to be proud of the work that I've done just because of whatever, you know, issue you have, there's better ways to go about and complain and or dislike a person. I don't expect everybody to like or agree with what I have to say. If that was the case, I'd be bored out of my mind. But there's certain ways to do it that I think that the industry as a whole really need to pick up on. So there.
I think it's just that whenever people presume, you know, that, I don't know, that I don't even know how to articulate this, like the catty girl gamer and the presumption that a lot of girls who do that, and there are some women who can play into it, but most women that I know are really like playing games with other people and, you know, and are definitely more than willing to help others. So I think that annoys me a lot when there's the presumption that, you know.
Right.
I'm not very articulate.
Yeah, and you know, the one that has a tendency to get to me too is when certain members of the female gaming community kind of feel like they're better than everybody else. So they'll put down other women for playing something like Nintendogs or Bookworm or something like that because they're not hardcore enough, and that really bothers me because
I think that stems from a protection thing too.
Yeah.
Because if you're hardcore, then nobody's going to pick you out to be the one that's the weak one, and it is that high school mentality.
Yeah, but this whole hardcore casual thing is the lines are being blurred. I mean, how can you say that somebody who plays Farmville for 80 hours a week, gets up in the middle of the night to make sure that their crops don't wither, how is that person not hardcore? Seriously. Seriously.
I think one of the things that bothers me a little bit is sometimes women project themselves in a negative light where they're like, you know, don't judge me, you know, I'm a serious gamer, and then all their pictures are them in a bikini, and I'm like, hey, I don't quite follow. Do you want people to take you seriously and not say, wow, you're hot, give me your gamer tag? And you're like, don't do that, but here I am in a bikini, and I'm like,
Well, coming from somebody that's definitely had her fair share of bikini pictures, how do I want to put this? That's just the industry. That's just the industry, not as in it's the gaming industry. That's just
fortunately
the media.
Not for all of us.
Yeah. That's just the media. That's just the media. That's unfortunately the easiest, quickest way to get attention. And that is how I got a job. And I am very happy to be paying my bills right now. That being said, you definitely need to bring more to the table. I mean, I didn't get hired at IGN just because I happened to have a bikini picture. I got hired at IGN because I actually knew what I was talking about, and I proved it numerous times over the course of 5 years. And, you know, everyone's given their opportunity and their moment in the sun, and that whole PSP lick bikini whatever the F situation could have easily lasted, you know, 15 minutes of fame, but it didn't. I managed to turn it into a career because I actually worked incredibly hard and knew what I was talking about and made sure that I was an asset to the company and to my bosses. So, you know, unfortunately, you need to kind of play a little bit of like cards, kind of a game of poker with the industry at this point. Do I think it's going to change? Yeah, I do. I think as we get older and we have kids and we start raising our kids to be involved in video games and our interests, and whether those are girls or boys, it's definitely just going to get more and more accepted. It's going to get more of the respect it deserves, and women are going to be more and more involved. And you're not going to have to fall back on these last-ditch efforts of, oh, you know, I have to go ahead and get my picture shot in Maxim so that I can, you know, have a job next year.
Again, thank God.
We got some more questions.
Next question. Okay. So you guys, sorry.
Over here.
There you are.
Oh, okay. All right. Sorry.
So you guys talk about casual games, and it brings more people in. The Wii, you know, is bringing more females, but bring more people in general to gaming, and everyone thinks that that is a good thing. But is it really a good thing? We're coming up with all these casual games, all these, you know, grandmas playing it at old folks' homes and things like that. And I don't want to say, you know, it's casual versus hardcore, but for me personally, I like games like Medal of Honor and Call of Duty and things like that. And if the market is shifting towards these casual games because it is a huge business right now, that kind of hurts the kind of gaming that I want to be gaming with. It's not...
I'm going to jump right in and just say, yeah. I think you kind of gave yourself your own answer in that, is that the casual game market is huge right now. People who are playing casual games right now, in my opinion, will not always be playing casual games. I'm a perfect example of that. I started off with puzzle games and things that were really easy, and then tried something a little harder and something a little harder, and now I play pretty much anything. So gamers evolve, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, like
they become more confident in their skills, and they'll get bored with the simpler games, and they'll start to seek out more things. So this doesn't happen overnight.
I would define Pong and Frogger as casual games at this point, but we played them and we consider them, you know, we're just because we gloss over those as being easy and casual because they're nostalgic. But those were some casual, like River Raid is not a difficult game. So, you know, I think it's one of those things where it's just kind of introducing a new aspect to gaming, but not to the detriment of others.
I also think the game industry knows that the hardcore is their bread and butter.
Oh, for
that's
sure.
Where they're going to make their money.
Yeah.
While Wii Sports will sell a ton of copies, how many people play that every day?
And the people who buy Wii Sports are going to buy, what, you know, one
like
or two
one
games
or two
a year.
More games, whereas the hardcore people are going to be buying over and over and over.
Yeah.
They know you're there.
I guess the point is there is room for all of this. I mean, the industry has to keep growing in order for us all to keep having games to play. So a bigger industry is a better industry, in my opinion. I don't think hardcore games are going anywhere. Just because Farmville is huge, that doesn't mean that Halo is going to be a failure. That's my opinion on it. I don't think you guys have anything to worry about with your games going away, as long as the franchise isn't beat into the ground like Activision has a tendency to do. So we'll see.
For those of you who said how much you like Mass Effect, how do you want Mass Effect 3 to play out? What's your perfect ending?
Oh,
God. Christine.
It's all yours, Christine.
No spoilers. Well, then, shoot, I have no idea. Honestly, I don't know. I felt like it took such a different turn in 2 that I kind of have no idea where it's going. That said, they better not make you reassemble a team again, or I'll be totally pissed. I'm actually curious to see if they go sort of the way of Dragon Age Origins, and like you've built up your pseudo army, and then you'll be able to sort of call upon them later. That said, I really do want a Caden marriage.
What? I was waiting for that to come out, by the way.
He was off. I killed him.
Shh.
He's horrible.
No. No, he was not.
Oh, he was such a chode. He's a chode.
Apparently, Jess didn't get the email that came later. Jess, did you not get that email that came later?
What email?
After he was mean to you. He sent you an email and apologized.
Yeah, I didn't
get it. Well,
no,
she didn't
mine was
get
nasty.
It because she never romanced him in the first game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. No.
I didn't get any romance. I didn't get any romance in Mass Effect. That's a different story for a different time, but apparently...
She's not so good at the
Everybody rejected me blatantly. Like, not even nicely. Like, I actually went into the, what's the scientist's name? Why am I blanking out?
The alien one in two.
I went in there.
Morden.
I went in there to just like upgrade a shield or whatever the hell, and he's just like, Morden's like, I'm not into that kind of thing. I'm like, I'm only coming for a shield, dude. I wasn't even asking you anything. I wasn't even asking for it, and you already rejected me. It was so disappointing.
Yeah, I found in Mass Effect 2, your shepherd was very flirty. I accidentally got sort of a love thing going with Garrus on accident.
Oh, on accident.
Abort mission, abort mission. Do not want.
I was begging.
I actually turned my Xbox off. Because I was like, no! This isn't happening! And then I reloaded my save and it was okay. And then I did not pick that bit of conversation.
I tried every single person except for the Krogan because that's just weird. Every single one. And every single one was just like, we are so not wanting it to happen. I was
I'm
very
sorry.
Disappointed. It was sad.
But you were successful in Dragon Age.
Yeah, after the second playthrough.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think you need to try a little more.
No. Yeah.
You can't just go up to somebody and say you want it.
Yeah. Lara.
Especially Alistair.
Well, that's in real life. Yeah, that's exactly. Different.
Yeah. See, in Alistair, like, he liked me the more coy I was. Like, the more shy I was. Like, the more he chased
that's
me.
That's your problem, Jess.
I'm
You've
not
never
into
been
that.
Shy in your
I'm
life.
I'm not into shy.
Very straightforward.
Yeah.
That's you.
Alrighty, we have another question.
So the industry can be a bit of a boys' club.
Where are you? There you are.
Oh, hi.
But as women, what advantages do you feel that you have, be it innate or from your experiences as females, do you have over your male counterparts in reviewing games?
As far as reviewing, I would say, like, just as far as being in the industry, I think it's a lot harder for women, or a lot easier for women who work in the industry to tell people outside of it what they do. Because you're looked at, you know, I can say, yeah, I write about video games, and people go, oh. Whereas I feel like a lot of my male coworkers, and they say I write about video games, and they get kind of the, and when are you going to grow up and get a real job sort of look.
Or you must have gotten it because you're a girl.
Wait.
Oh, I think that... We're just looked on as kind of more of a curiosity, and so I don't feel like we get the dismissiveness that I know some of my male counterparts have gotten at some point from people who don't work in this industry.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, I mean, there's the obvious thing that happens where certain types of games are just given to us more frequently to review, but it makes sense. It's not just because they're girly games, because, like, I'm into girly games. I mean, I was thrilled to just review iPet for IGN. So, but, I mean, you'll see those games coming to us. But it has nothing to do with the fact that we're female. It just has to do with the fact that those are the games that we are into.
Well, or that we're female, and, I mean, it's targeted at women, so yeah. It makes more sense to have a woman reviewing it than it does a guy.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's an advantage.
No, that's not an
advantage
at all.
I would say that's a disadvantage.
Yeah.
Because those games are usually terrible. Especially those exercise games.
Yeah.
Twisted my ankle. Never doing those again.
I overextended a knee.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
me too.
The things we do for work.
Yeah,
exactly.
But generally, the whole boys club thing, I think, it is kind of changing. You know, there are more and more women entering the industry. I mean, there are five of us here. We probably make up a good quarter of the editorial department on our own, about-ish.
I'm in a weird position because I don't actually review games. I was quite disappointed about that when I first started IGN because that is the job that I actually wanted. They offered me a job reviewing mobile, and I turned it down because it was way before any of the smartphones hit the market, and so all the games were basically Snake and Tetris. And I didn't want to do that, oddly enough. And then after a week, I told them no, and then I thought, oh, I'm an idiot. I should have just said yes and gotten my foot in the door and gone back. And I was very, very upset that I had passed up on an opportunity, what I thought would be the last opportunity ever. And so then when they called me back a week later, somebody else from IGN did, and said, we're starting a video team, we need a host, do you want to do it? And I hate being on camera. I still have problems with it. I get very nervous. Like, talking to you guys today pretty much put me in an absolute fit before I sat down in front of it. And I've had a good probably three drinks previous to sitting down because I was just so nervous. But, you know, I just said, yeah, and that was the deal. That being said, my point to the story is that I was disappointed for quite a long time that I wasn't reviewing games, but now I'm of the mindset where I'm glad I don't have that job, because now that I've made friends with so many people in the industry that do spend their time and they stay home from Christmas and they don't see their families and they sit there and they work 24 hours a day for like a whole week, and just making the like simplest game, And here I haven't made anything in my life, but I'm gonna sit there and tell them that this is not the way to do it. I just don't ever wanna be that person. So I'm really kind of glad that I'm in a job position where I can appreciate games. I have my own opinions, of course, but I don't have to sit there and review it or give somebody, quote unquote, a grade based off of the work that they've really tried hard to do. So, yep, that's that.
I'm a database editor, so I don't even have to worry about it. I get to borrow games for free, but I don't have to review them. I bring them back whenever. You know, I can just sit there and watch someone, like, hover over their shoulder while they're trying to review a game. What you doing? Playing a game. How is it? It's fun. I'm trying to concentrate. So it's fun, huh? Enjoying yourself? So, yeah, my job is pretty awesome, so I don't get to review games. But I don't think it was an advantage to be a girl, but it was a huge advantage to speak Japanese, so that's actually how I got my job. So if you're wondering how to get your foot in your door, one of the things is learn Japanese. Seriously,
go out there.
There's only like two or three other people who speak Japanese at IGN, so that was a huge advantage. So if you really want to review games and you can get preview builds.
I don't know how much of an advantage that is going to be
anymore,
dependent upon this year's TGS. That's just my own personal opinion.
I think TGS is going to be awesome. It's going to be the last Guardian.
It's in Japan.
There's going to be the last story. There's going to be hopefully the next Persona game.
Okay, the only one I cared about. In that
for anybody who hadn't noticed, Megan is a huge JRPG fan.
It's all about Square Enix and Atlas. Although I wrote a blog post saying how much I hate them right now because I feel like their quality has gone way down. So that's a whole different story.
Tough love.
Yes, very tough love.
Any more questions? Ooh, there's a few more back there.
It's the mic. Where's the mic?
Yes.
Okay.
Hi.
Hello.
First, I would like to say I love the show.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
I was actually wondering if any of you have seen BioShock Infinite's gameplay. Is it like different than Bioshock
Two?
Or?
I've only seen the
We've
trailer.
We've only seen the trailer. Obviously, it's going to be at least a little bit different, but there does seem to be the aspect of having your gun or whatever that may be in your one hand, and you have powers that you can use in your left hand. But the powers sound pretty cool. Like, supposedly you can control like a swarm of ravens and send them at people. So.
Nevermore.
Exactly. Yeah. And as a BioShock, total BioShock fangirl, I'm excited for it. So I think it'll be cool.
Well, from the trailer, that's all I've seen. Unfortunately.
There's a lot of MMOs coming out pretty recently, namely Guild Wars 2, Star Wars, and Final Fantasy. I'm just wondering which one you guys are voting for the most, and which one you think has the most potential, and which one you think is pretty crappy looking.
Between Guild Wars and Final Fantasy?
MMO, but mostly Guild Wars, Final Fantasy, or Star Wars.
Old Republic is going to...
Come on, it's BioWare fangirls up here. What do you think we're going to answer?
And not only that...
I actually wouldn't say that.
I would say that's the only one... with the exception of, you know, World of Warcraft Cataclysm when it gets released, that is going to be worth anything as far as playing. That's my personal opinion. We don't have probably enough time, but Final Fantasy has burned me in the past, and I shall never play that game again. Ever.
Oh, right.
That's a very bitter story. If you corner me at our meet and greet, I'll tell you about it.
Personally, I'm very excited for Cataclysm. I've been playing the beta. I think it's really good and it's fun. But that said, I would say I'm more excited for Guild Wars 2. Because I think it's going to be really interesting to see the way they do combat and how you don't necessarily need to go to like a quest giver and all that sort of thing. They're sort of doing away with a lot of the elements that are very typical to MMOs. So it'll be... What?
That's my favorite too.
Yeah. I think it looks cool. I'm excited.
I don't play MMOs, so I'm sorry.
Which is weird because I'm such an RPG fan, but I don't play Final Fantasy Online.
It's fine.
It's fine. I'm afraid I'd like get addicted or something.
Final Fantasy is not fun.
jump in.
Wait, the MMO or just the whole?
The MMO.
Okay.
The
yeah. 11. That's probably
all right.
True.
This question is mostly for Megan because she brought it up. You mentioned Persona. Do you have any views so far? I know we know very little about Atlus's upcoming game, Catherine. It's supposed to be a pretty mature game, and I wonder if you had any thoughts where you might want it to go or what you think we might see in it.
Wow, that was such a trippy trailer. Did anyone see the Catherine trailer for Atlus? It is nuts. Like, it is really, it's about this, I don't know, this sorceress or this seductress who basically every time she sleeps with this guy, he has nightmares and wakes up on ledges and there are murders and all this other stuff. It's like Persona, but way darker. So
that happens to me all the time.
Yeah, that's pretty
exactly. So it's, I don't know how I feel about it. It's really mature, so it caught me off guard. It's, I don't know if it's gratuitous, but it definitely hints at something in the trailer. But I actually, I decided to follow it on IGN and was curious as to what it is. And so I'm not thrilled about like the gratuitous sexuality, but it might actually really play into the story well, really well, because she's obviously some sort of devil. Because I keep having all sorts of signs, and she turns into a ram or something. So
she turns into a ram?
Yeah, like they, it's like there are these yeah like kind of like cutaways where you see like the ram, like ran, a ram is like a symbol for the devil.
It is?
Yeah. She's super hot, so this guy knows better, but it's like it's his dream girl, so he won't stop sleeping with her. He can't quite make the connection, but I think
well, I guess so, wait, you're saying all you, oh, I guess he's murdering people. That's probably bad. I was gonna say if he's just having nightmares, whatever, but
yeah, the nightmares are actually
murder.
Real
murder.
Yeah, exactly.
It puts a damper on
if
the
you get away with it. I yeah, think it's okay little,
yeah exactly.
I think
just ask her horses.
Yes, exactly.
But you can't because they're all dead.
Any more questions? Have we had any questions from a female?
Have we? No, I don't think so.
There's some that want them. Okay. After this gentleman, she's getting the mic.
I could speak in a high voice if that would
be that's cool. Go
for
ahead.
It.
So the discussion's been kind of all over the place. Casual games, to me, appear to be mostly PC. Farmville, you know, these puzzle games that are online, flash games. It's really easy to get your mom into something because she already has a computer.
Right.
But the games you guys are mostly talking about are console, with the exception of WoW. So what is your opinion, PC or console? Or is there a line for you?
I'm pretty platform agnostic.
Yeah.
I like all of them.
I enjoy games that I just happen to think are fun. Whether that's on a PC or a console, it does not matter to me. It's just whatever it is about that particular game that I enjoy.
I will say I started gaming on Super NES and then I moved to PC, and that was where I did a majority of my games. And I mostly played whatever my dad had on his computer. And so it was like all super hardcore strategy games that I didn't know what the hell I was doing, but I was just sort of messing around. That and like the Flight Sims, he liked those too, so that's what I got to play.
I gotta tell this story because it's interesting. It's why I don't play PC games. I'm just sort of starting to get back into it because I got Final Fantasy VII for the PC back in the day. And anyone who made the mistakes knows where this story is already going. That thing crashed my computer so bad we had to get a new computer. So I refused to play any PC games for literally like 10, 12 years. And I just finally ordered Neverwinter Nights for my computer because it's an old game and my laptop's from like 2007. And so I'm like, okay, slowly but surely I'm getting back into it.
Just go to goodoldgames.com.
Yeah, I got a Zeus Master of Olympus, so I'm getting back into it. But anyone who got Final Fantasy VII for their PC in 1997 knows how awful that experience was. And it literally scared me away from PC gaming for like over a decade. So don't get that game on PC. Get it on PlayStation.
I just wanted to make a quick note to your question, though. Like, I think if you want to get somebody to move from a PC to a console, you know, you have to put a lot of thought into what console that is. So for me, somebody who is currently playing games on Facebook, playing Farmville, maybe playing some PopCap games like Plants vs. Zombies or Bejeweled or whatnot, the console to go to step them up to is the DS. There is a ton of casual stuff out there for the DS. There's stuff that will make your brain smarter.
Not really.
Which hasn't been proved. Yeah. But But I mean, there are lots of things out there now that will appeal to that type of audience. And then they've got a console, and then they've something with the buttons and the control, you know. It's like I said before, it's a brief evolution. You have to take baby steps into getting somebody into something. So I say, get her a DS.
Yeah, my sister actually doesn't game, but she finally got a DS because she travels a lot, and now she's borrowing games from me, and she owes me back my copy of Puzzle Quest 2, actually. So, Jen, if you're watching this, please bring back Puzzle Quest 2. Yeah, well, it's much more. I want to test to make sure she's watching this. So we'll see if she brings back the Puzzle Quest thing, sure. Then she gets a thumbs up. But yeah, definitely a DS is the way to go if you're wondering about that. And console games, you have to sort of ease people into who aren't gaming, because there are a lot of hardcore stuff on that.
The point of my original story, before I got cut off. Thanks, Megan. Oh. The Wii?
Oh.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, but the DS isn't beneath anyone because it's awesome.
Yeah. All right, screw it. I'm not talking anymore.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought you were finished. You had this pause.
No, I paused to take a breath. That's
sorry.
What you do.
Did someone get a microphone to the lady over here?
Hi. It's
really
not that important of a story. It's fine, actually.
Oh, there's one back there.
Next, to the lovely lady. Or, that lady.
I'm a super, super new gamer, like within the last year. Mm-hmm. I've been a geek for a long time, but brand new gamer. What would you say I definitely must do?
First of all, welcome.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
What consoles
do you have?
I haven't played any console games. I've played World of Warcraft, Champions Online.
Sounds to me like you got it covered.
Torchlight. BioShock 2. It was too horrible.
You have to play BioShock 1. Why are you playing 2?
Oh no, it was 1, wasn't it? It was 1.
Okay.
You didn't
That's good.
You didn't enjoy it? I didn't enjoy it.
What didn't you like about it?
I didn't like the bloody scary.
You don't like scary.
You don't like
I don't like scary
that much
okay. either, so I'm with you.
Which is weird because I like love vampire stuff. But it and no zombies, poor favor.
Okay.
Yeah, but
so
Twilight's not scary.
I Left 4 Dead.
So it sounds like PC is pretty much your
I'm open to console.
Okay.
Which consoles do you have though? Do you have Xbox? I guess it doesn't matter. Most of the stuff's coming out on both.
I have access to Xbox. Okay. These are my tour guides.
Oh, that's cute.
So you don't like bloody, gory stuff generally. What about like kind of cute, gory stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Plants vs. Zombies will be coming out on XBLA this month, I believe. I highly recommend
that.
And
there's co-op.
It is a
ton of fun. Which is nice. Or competitive.
Yes.
Obviously,
else?
Mass Effect.
Yeah.
No-brainer.
Mass Effect. Although, that can get kind of...
No.
Yeah. I'd say Uncharted,
fine.
Too.
I would also try out...
She doesn't have a PS3?
No.
Oh.
I would try out
Viva
Pinata.
Sorry.
Viva Pinata.
Yeah, Viva Pinata.
In Paradise, though. Not the first one. Trouble in Paradise. And then,
Dragon
also,
Age.
I mean, it's kind of an old game, but it just came out on PSN. Castle Crashers, which is also on Xbox.
Good
it's a good
call.
One. You can play together. Mm-hmm. Fun times. I don't think.
But you can come corner us at the meet
Age
and greet afterward if you want to.
Right.
And
we'll
come up with more.
Speaking of which, we are out of time.
Oh no!
Thanks so much.
No, wait, we
so
have one announcement.
Oh,
sorry.
Can we do one more?
Wait, hang on. I have one quick announcement before we do that though. Two. We are doing our meet and greet in the Sheraton lobby afterwards, so we will all be there. You can come over there. There is not an open bar. You will have to buy your own drinks, but there is an area blocked off where we will all be.
Yeah, we will be there chatting.
And the other thing is
whatever.
That this man right here, stand up, Scott, tomorrow, he will be wandering the show floor. This is Scott Brownlee. He will be wandering the show floor, and I believe that there was someone handing out stickers. We have a bunch more if you want them. You've gotten my IGN stickers. If you come and slap your My IGN sticker on him, take a picture of him tomorrow. He'll be doing updates and everything. Huh? Yeah, doing updates. So find him on the show floor, take a picture of yourself with him, and then post it on your My IGN wall if you haven't signed up. It's very easy to get an account. And send it to paxpromo@ign.com, and we will be randomly selecting people to win an iPad. The 360 Slim, the 250 gig one, and then the third prize is 3 games of your choice. So if you do that, so find that man tomorrow.
So easy.
Finally
do it. Come on, guys.
And then at the end of the night, you can help him peel all those stickers off.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. So thanks so much for coming out. We really, really appreciate it. And I hope that you will join us across the street at the Sheraton for some drinks and fun.
Bye.
Awesome. Thanks. Bye-bye.